The wealth generated by the creative sector is astounding. It accounts for nearly half all wage and salary income in the United States, $1.7 trillion, as much as the manufacturing and service sectors combined. Still, we have not even begun to tap into our creative potential. Human creativity is a virtually limitless resource. Every human being is creative in some way. Each of us has creative potential that we love to exercise and that can be turned to valuable ends. Furthermore, creativity is the great leveler. It cannot be handed down, and it cannot be owned in the traditional sense. It defies gender, race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, and outward appearance. We cannot know in advance who the next Steve Jobs, Jimi Hendrix, Gertrude Stein, Paul Allen, Billie Holiday, or Andy Warhol will be, or where they will come from. Yet our society continues to encourage the creative talents of a minority, while it neglects the creative capacities of many more. Great economic shifts, like the one we are going through, with them bring massive tensions and disruptions. The shift from an agricultural to a capitalist industrial economy generated incredible disruption and social turmoil. Huge flows of people from farm to the factory, from the rural hinterlands to great urban centers, and brought social problems ranging from workplace injury to crime, congestion, and disease. We are going through a similar period today. Our workplaces are changing. Stress is rising as creativity and mental labor have become the force of production. My preliminary research with the psychiatrists Roberto Figuero and Kenneth Thompson shows that stress of all sorts, from mood and anxiety disorder to substance abuse, is considerably higher in the creative centers of the U.S. economy like San Francisco, Austin, and Seattle than in other city regions. People are more mobile. We are postponing marriage. Our family structures are morphing. The kinds of communities we need to support us are changing as we replace a small number of strong tie relationships with a much greater number of weak tie relationships. These transformations are wrenching, and they will continue for the foreseeable future. The broad social impacts of the creative age are just beginning to be felt. The real challenge of our time is to complete the system we have given rise to build the broader creative society that can harness the creative energy we have unleashed and mitigate the turmoil and disruption that it generates. That's a very tall order. New kinds of social institutions and policies will be needed to complete the system and make it work well. We can't know what these will look like in advance. It will take a long time to figure this out. Adapting to the industrial age took long decades, with lots of give and take, lots of experiments that didn't work. But finally, after the New Deal and World War II era, we built a broader industrial society able to support and harness the tremendous productive capacity of the great industrial engine that had emerged decades earlier. And as we completed that system, we embarked on a golden age of rising productivity and living standards. The challenge before us today is even greater. And already, in America and around the world, danger signs loom. One is rising inequality. This has been tied to many factors. I had a strong hunch while writing The Rise of the Creative Class that inequality in our society was being exacerbated by the rise of the creative economy. Kevin Stolarik and I developed an inequality index that essentially compares the wages of creative sector workers to those in the manufacturing and service sectors. We found that inequality is highest in the creative epicenters of the U.S. economy. What's more, this inequality has insidious dimensions. Not only do creative workers earn much more on average than the large numbers of people who do low-end service work or rote manufacturing, they also get to do more enjoyable work, and they contribute more by adding creative value. That's why they are paid highly. The stark reality is that the rise of creative work also brings with it a great deal of work in the service sector. Those of us who work long days and nights at the computer rely on those office cleaners, delivery people, and many others in the service economy. But there is no reason why all of this work has to be rote work, and no reason why it shouldn't pay much better than it does. The service economy is the support infrastructure of the creative age.